In your Bibles, please, to the prophecy of Daniel for our second reading. Verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was the fruit, was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and an holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, forasmuch as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation. But thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonied for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, upon whose branches the fowls of heaven had their habitation, it is thou, O King, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways are judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. It's one of those passages where Pastor Riddell is tempted simply to say, no sermon today. We're going to stretch Daniel chapter 4 until this afternoon. What a great passage. What an amazing piece of scripture to be privileged to study today. So the first thing is, Nebuchadnezzar, has he become an author of Scripture? Well, apparently he has. Under probably Daniel's scribeship and inspiration, yes, Nebuchadnezzar is recorded here as having said these very things, and they are included here in Scripture, probably because Daniel, the inspired prophet, was writing them for him. Very interesting to think about that. Yet at the beginning of the chapter and at the end of the chapter, we have Nebuchadnezzar speaking of himself in the first person. So there you go. Secondly, let's remember when we think of that, you know, we're not told in Scripture whether or not Nebuchadnezzar ever turned to the Lord. We're not told that. This passage comes about as close, and yet, when Nebuchadnezzar mentions Daniel, he will say, whose name was Belteshazzar, after the name of my God. So he's still confessing false gods as his God, even in this chapter. Now that shows us, doesn't it, something of the power of God, who is able to use an unregenerate king to speak his word through his prophet. Remember that Judas performed miracles and taught the people. Okay. So, here we go. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. He praises the high God, first of all, that he is great and mighty. That's how Nebuchadnezzar begins and ends this chapter. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. This is obviously then written, this chapter, after Nebuchadnezzar's ordeal. Well then, this would comport, would it not, with his understanding that he ought to curry the favor of the God of heaven. He ought to. They should. It is commanded to them as well as all others. Let's remember that. And then it's important to note that the king is introducing something that's already taken place. So his interpretations and uses are, we believe, because of his direct contact with Daniel. Daniel has become one of the king's counselors. He is teaching Nebuchadnezzar about the Most High God. Daniel is using the advantage that he has as the king's counselor to preach the gospel even to Nebuchadnezzar. That's important for us to remember. So even kings and rulers need spiritual counselors to teach them the ways of the Lord. There was a day when this was recognized, even in these good old United States of America. We have the remnants of it, don't we? We have the chaplain that leads the Senate in prayer. Of course, those chaplains today can be from any religion, but it didn't used to be so. All right, so then Nebuchadnezzar relates his dream in verses 4 through 18. He acknowledges that he didn't understand it. He was troubled. First of all, he was at peace in his palace. He's resting, maybe laying on his couch, maybe dozing off a little bit. And as he dozes off in this tranquility and peace that he enjoys as a great king in the earth, he dreams a dream that troubles him. And may I say to you that that I am reminded of Matthew chapter 13 in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Are you not? That the kingdom of heaven is like this little mustard seed, which is planted, becomes the greatest of all trees in such a way that the birds of heaven lodge in its branches. What's the difference between the tree in Matthew 13 and the tree here in Daniel chapter 4? This one will be cut down. The tree of the kingdom of God in Matthew 13, that'll never be cut down. That'll always be a place of refuge, right? So there's much to be said about this picture that's painted. Daniel will interpret it for him. You're that great tree. You have provided much. You're a king over all the kings of the earth. You have become the greatest of all the kings of the earth, Nebuchadnezzar. You're the most illustrious. Your kingdom provides for many other kingdoms. The beasts of the forest come and lodge under your branches. The birds of the heavens lodge in your branches. You provide for many. You provide shade. You provide much. But then, suddenly, something happens to this tree. It is cut down. It is cut down at the behest of the watchers. Who are the watchers? They're also called the holy ones. Well, most scholars are agreed that this is simply Nebuchadnezzar's understanding in his dream of seeing some sort of supervision from heaven, perhaps angels, or perhaps it's just Nebuchadnezzar's realization that he must come under some kind of oversight and judgment. Let's remember what kings thought in those days, and that persisted even to this some 500 years before Christ to 1500 or 1600 years after Christ. What did they believe? They believed in the quote-unquote divine right of kings, that the king rules by force of his being king and that he gets to make up laws and do whatever it is that he pleases. God has put him in his place to give him unbridled authority. That's what kings believed. We look at some of our governors today. By governors, I don't mean men like Greg Abbott. I mean, I just mean those who rule over us in the civil estate. Sometimes it looks as if they believe the same thing. Perhaps not to the same extent. Remember that in those days, at the whim of the king, you know, he had a bad breakfast, and so people died that day. That's the kind of barbarism that the divine right of kings had led to. So this is quite an admission for Nebuchadnezzar when he says that, you know what? There are watchers over my kingdom. There are people, there are entities, there are powers that watch over and judge what's going on in my kingdom and judge me. That the king should have a judge is a radical idea in Nebuchadnezzar's court, that the king himself should be judged. This, however, helps us to understand what we learned all the way back in the Mosaic legislation, right? Some nearly 1,000 years before, that the king must have a copy of the scripture written out for him, and he must read in it all the days of his life that he might know how to govern. This is what belongs to kings, not unbridled authority, but that there are watchers over them. And notice that while he says there are watchers, he also says it is indeed at the behest of the Most High God. He recognizes that these watchers are simply servants of the Most High. He recognizes the one true God of Daniel here. All right, so he calls his soothsayers and they can't answer. And then at last they call Daniel, probably to emphasize in the narrative and God's temporal ordering of things, emphasize and place the focus upon Daniel as the true prophet of the true God. He comes in last, and then notice that Nebuchadnezzar says to him, with thee, or with him, is the spirit of the holy gods. Let's not be confused by Nebuchadnezzar's statement there. He's simply repeating what he heard about the God of Israel, that plural form, Elohim. So it could very well also be translated the holy God. Nebuchadnezzar is simply using the plural because the Hebrews used the plural as to refer to the one true God. Okay? All right, so Daniel gives the interpretation, and in the interpretation he says, your tree, your kingdom, your person is going to be cut down. It'll be cut down, but the roots will remain, yet it will be held in place with a band of iron and brass. That is, you will not be able to stop this being cut down, and you will be held in it for a time. You won't be able to extricate yourself from this judgment. This band of iron and brass will hold this judgment tightly upon you. They shall drive thee from men. The dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. Make thee eat grass like oxen. They shall be wet with the dew of heaven, and so on. And may I say it this way, and this is what we learn from the book of Daniel as we use it to interpret the book of Revelation, that those governors who rule not according to God, they rule as beasts instead. That's why they're called beasts in the book of Revelation. It is bestial government, not the government of men in the image of God. And so when we devolve from following the Lord in our governments, whether that be in the church or in the state, remember there was a beast of the sea and the beast of the land. And that government becomes more like beast's government than man's government. If we rule as men, we rule according to that remnant of the image of God that remains in us. If we rule as beasts, it is according to our base desire and the divine right of kings and rulers that believe they have an ultimate authority. Remember what Lord Acton said. It's his maxim, and he wrote it about the papacy, which believes it has an unbridled authority. Remember that, that power corrupts, but absolute power corrupts absolutely. So, again, at the behest of the watchers, at the behest of heaven, your kingdom will be brought down. You'll be like a beast. You will traverse the earth like a beast. Your hair will grow. Your nails will grow. You'll become like a beast. You'll be like a madman raving in the fields. Until seven times pass over thee, probably 7 years. Although it's hard to know for sure, but probably 7 years. Now notice the great counsel of Daniel to the king in verse 27. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. Why would he couch it like that? Because Nebuchadnezzar is used to ruling by divine right. Don't you insult me. Let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, O king Nebuchadnezzar. Break off thy sins by righteousness and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Over and again in Scripture, what do we hear that rulers are supposed to do? They are to stand up for the oppressed, to stand up for the poor, to make sure that they are not oppressed and taken advantage of. Now, I didn't say they're to steal from one and give to the poor. I didn't say that. But I did say that they are to stand up for them, that they are to judge rightly concerning them. And so, Nebuchadnezzar is instructed to do it exactly like that. If it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. The next word in the passage is that it was 12 months later before Nebuchadnezzar was struck down. So we think he took Daniel's counsel for at least a little while. 12 months before this judgment came upon him, and then one day he gets up and he presses once again his own glory and refuses to acknowledge the glory of heaven. Is not this kingdom, Babylon, which I have made, is it not a representation of my great wealth and my great power and my greatness? Is it not me personified? Am I not this kingdom, and this kingdom, is it not me? Is not its greatness, its power, my power? And as soon as the words come from his mouth, boom, the voice comes down from heaven, your kingdom is taken from you. Immediately, we suppose, he falls over, and he is a madman. They drive him out of the palace. He lives in the fields. His nails grow like eagle's claws. That's why we think probably 7 years. His hair grows like eagle's feathers. It grows out like this. He's wet with the dew of the earth. He eats grass like an ox. The Lord preserves him all those 7 years, behaving like an animal. It would have killed anyone except the Lord would have kept him alive. And why did he keep him alive? To make this very confession. So that he would extol the God of heaven. And he would learn to govern according to the watchers. According to the God of heaven. And this God, Nebuchadnezzar will say, he will make one of the best confessions that we have ever heard pertaining to God himself. He said, and the inhabitants of earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand and say unto him, what doest thou? Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, extol, and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Thus ends the reading of Daniel chapter 4. Let's stand.